Broadcasting from Manhattan Beach and the World Wide Web, you're listening to CHSR, HealthyLife.net.
As a service to our listeners, this program is for general information and entertainment purposes only. CHSRHealthyLife.net does not recommend, endorse, or object to the views, products, or topics expressed or discussed by show hosts or their guests. We suggest you always consult with your own personal, medical, financial, or legal advisor.
Courage is just a single step away. Someone left footprints when his soul was set ablaze.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to Charisse Unplugged. You're listening to Healthy Life Net Radio. It's a positive talk radio show. And today, as my guest, we have the one, the only, George Lauren.
Oh, my God.
Okay, this is very exciting for me. We were just discussing how we never really get to talk because everybody's running around really, really busy.
Yeah.
And you want to talk about busy. George is probably one of the busiest people I know. I see the back of your head most of the time when you're passing by. First of all, I just want you to tell everybody who the heck you are. You're a special guy to me because I get to sing at your place at R10, but I want people to know who you are. So, George, tell the people what you do.
Wow. First of all, I'm husband, father of five. So, kids.
Five.
Five kids. Ranging from 32 to 2. So.
Wow, you're busy.
I'm busy. and it's sometimes it's a full-time job, it's just keeping up with your kids, you know. Mm-hmm. And now that I have a few that are out of college, it keeping up with them is like working sometimes. But been in the restaurant my entire life. My grandparents opened restaurants when I was a kid. My grandmother, you know, pretty much raised me, and I would be dropped off in the back of the restaurant, and I'd stay there until she was done working, and I'd go home every day.
What kind of restaurant did they have?
She worked with the owner chef, what was called back in the day was called the Velvet Turtles.
The Velvet Turtle in so, Redondo Beach.
Redondo was the first one. Yes, the chef Wally. And if people know Velvet Turtles, the only thing they can kind of like, you know, attach it to is Wally's of the Desert in Rancho Mirage.
Okay.
And I believe his son owns that, or runs and owns that now, or might be even grandson at this point.
Okay.
But so he had opened the first Velvet Turtle in Redondo Beach Avenue I, where HD Grill is today. So that building is the building I grew up in.
Wow.
From like age 12.
Is it the same? Does it look the same?
The back kitchen is 100% the same. I've walked through it with Paul Hennessy, and it's the bus stations are the same. The private room on the side is what was their main dining room at the time.
Okay.
They changed the entire layout where the bar is at. That was completely different. That was another private dining room, and the bar was set back, and yeah, that was all changed around.
But that's your childhood.
Yeah.
So, now, were you born in Redondo?
In Redondo, yeah.
My sand mom, in your toes.
Yep. Mom and dad met here. My dad moved from Mexico, Guadalajara, and met my mom. My mom was working at Beach Bump Burt's. My dad was working at Old Tony's. And
oh, wow.
And my mom went to Redondo High School. I went to Redondo High School. My grandmother went to Redondo High School.
Wow.
And my great-grandfather was in the first graduating class of Redondo High School.
You are really, truly from here.
Mm-hmm.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
So growing up in the restaurant business as a child, I mean, it just was so natural for you then.
It was reluctantly when I was younger. You know, I enjoyed it when I was a kid, you know, but when it got to the point where I was going to school and going to college, last thing I ever wanted to do was be in the restaurant industry.
Really?
Yeah.
Why is that?
Because I felt like I was always working in restaurants to put myself through school.
Mm-hmm.
And it was like the last thing I wanted to do. And I remember distinctively, I had started working for CPK when they had, I think, like 18 restaurants at the time. Okay. And I was a server, and server, bartender. But we opened the restaurant in Palm Desert in El Paseo, and I had a regular customer come in constantly. And I'd always take care of them. And they kept it. They would always ask me about school and what are you doing and this and that. And right. And I told them, I was like, hey, this is what I'm doing. I'm going to sports medicine. I'm going to be a physical therapist and chiropractor.
Really?
All at the same time.
Okay.
You know, I was going to do one after the other.
Uh-huh.
And they look at me and they go, you're making a mistake. And I went, what?
Wow.
And I go, not that it was bold, but they go, this is your business. And I was taken back. I was a little bothered by the whole thing, and it stuck with me for a long time. And I ended up opening restaurants for CPK and took a year off school and never went back. And opened up restaurant. I probably opened up over 75 restaurants with them.
What was your very first restaurant you opened, CPK?
As part of an opening was CPK, yeah. So I spent 16 years with them.
Did you learn so much?
A lot of the base stuff I learned, and a lot of the things I learned is going from a young hourly employee to a young manager.
Mm-hmm.
The hardest part about this business, wholeheartedly, is not the food, is not the marketing, it's not, you know, the accounting, it's the people. That's the hardest part about this job.
Is it?
That's the most taxing part of the job is people.
I think that probably goes for a lot of companies.
100%.
Every company.
If you don't have people skills, it's hard to do anything anywhere.
Yeah. I do love working for myself for those reasons.
Yeah. Because, I mean, customer service is customer service. And for you,
yes.
You know, performing and singing, it's like you have to be, you know, not just sell yourself, but it's just like people got to buy into you, you know, and that comes with like customer service and how you communicate with people. And
very true.
Everybody's different.
You know what? I didn't even think of it because like singing musically, it's very natural to do it.
Yeah.
There in that world.
But you got to read their crowd.
Yes.
Yeah.
You're right. I do it all the time. I don't even realize I'm doing it.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's instinctual.
And that's restaurant industry the same way, uh-huh. You know, and it's just the people side of it is probably the most challenging part of it, you know, maybe not customers.
Mm.
I'm talking about employees.
I can only imagine. I mean, like just getting somebody new and having to train them alone.
Yeah.
Is one aspect of it.
Well, I think most restaurant operators or people that own restaurants and I'm sure you eat out. Everybody eats out.
Mm-hmm.
Jeez, now people eat out maybe like 10 times a week, I would think, you know. Lunch, dinner, whatever it might be, a mix of the two.
Right.
But if you go to like a mom and pop shop, mm-hmm. Who's usually there? It's the owner that's there.
Yeah.
You know, and it's part of it's because you don't have the revenue to hire people, or it's because you don't feel that people are going to do it as good as you're going to do it. And that's why the training and all that stuff. And so with multiple restaurants, you have to back off. And you have to allow your staff to be themselves and be happy, and you got to train them and give them the tools they need. And
were you able to acquire that skill early, or did that take some time?
It took some growing pains.
Okay. To not micromanage.
Yeah. It's growing pains for the most part. Everybody that I know that's in this industry,
mm-hmm.
they're control freaks for the most part. You know, because everything comes down to, you know, it's you're creating an experience, and there's 100 different ways to do it. But that relates to sales and profit and mm-hmm. everything else like that. And it really starts with that experience. And if you can't wrap your head around the experience portion of it,
right.
You're focused on the cost portion of it.
Yeah. Well, and what if you have like a vision of something you want to create?
Like something new.
Yeah.
So that's, as we spoke earlier, me and my wife, pre-COVID, opened up a new concept, and it was a seafood and oyster bar in Century City Mall.
Mm-hmm.
And it started out with things that we ate. We cooked for ourselves. And or where we would go, we went to this little place in Orange County for oysters all the time. We would drive all the way down there. And it's
just
part
for
of
the oysters.
Just for oysters, you know. And mm-hmm. So it was kind of our thing. You know, when we were dating and before we got married. So when we got married, we goes, okay, let's open the restaurant. Let's try to find a spot. We found a spot and mm-hmm. it was doing great. And then COVID hit. And then, but it's, you know, it is a labor of love across the board. You know, sometimes when you're too emotionally attached to it, it's hard to let go, you know, but
right.
We were able to let go, you know, during COVID because we couldn't do takeout. and we
yeah, you said baked oysters and
baked oysters. We did sandwiches and and we did seafood bowls and things like that. So we did a variety of stuff,
right.
But it was just being in the center of the mall. During COVID, we didn't know what was going to happen. I don't think in the first 6 months of COVID, nobody knew what was going to happen.
It's like a ghost town everywhere.
So we just, we ended up closing that one, and then we moved on. We went back to R10, and her and I were the only ones working at R10. We were both cooking.
You were both cooking.
We were both cooking, and then we were feeding the police department, feeding the the hospital, what do they call them?
The important people, the main people.
First responders.
Yes, there it is.
But so we were feeding the hospital, we were feeding the Redondo Beach Police Department, so we were cooking meals every day. And then when we were finally allowed to do takeout, that's when we started doing music again.
Uh-huh.
The
band was outside.
Outside. And we were just doing food to go. Food and beverage to go.
And I think you were one of the only ones that were doing that.
Well, it was kind of hidden, so shame on me. But you know what?
I didn't hear anything.
No. We had a blast, and I think everybody that went.
I think people needed that so badly because it was outdoors.
Yeah,
you did the right thing.
It was a tailgate party outside.
Yeah.
Feed the Kitty was there. I had never seen so many people dancing to Feed the Kitty in the street ever before. So it was pretty cool.
We actually drove by, took our bikes out there, hung out there too. But I didn't realize you were in the kitchen at that time.
Yep.
So let's see. So going back to college days and the idea of having a restaurant, super resentful because you probably didn't want anybody telling you what to do at this
point. Once I went into it, I was fine. You know? But that's.
And you're 23?
23, yeah.
Uh-huh. So. And you finally wrapped your head around it and stayed in the business ever since.
Mm-hmm. Haven't left.
And your grandma, she's the one who influenced you and brought you up. What were some of the main influences from her for you? What are your takeaways from?
My grandma was like a general manager. She was very, because the style of restaurant was a fine dining restaurant. There's none of them even open to this day. Mm-hmm. So it was very, a very catering type of atmosphere, like going to Ruth Chris or any of the big steakhouses.
Mm-hmm.
It was steak and seafood, but her mentality, and it, not that she ever, it's how she was with me as a kid and how she was at the restaurant. She was very accommodating, taking care of people. And what that turned in for me and with my restaurants and with my staffs, mm-hmm. Now with 7 restaurants and over 300 employees, our number, like our culture in our restaurants, mm-hmm. is about being of service to one another.
You mean as a team?
As a team. Because if we cannot be of service to one another, uh-huh. we can never be of service to our customer, our guests, our friends, or people that we get to know in the restaurant.
Right.
And really, nurturing that type of environment, which came from my grandmother.
So like making it like a family.
100%.
So you have each other's back, and
mm-hmm. so we, and there's great moments with that when mm-hmm. you talk about having a family, but there's also there's tough love when it comes to family too, that's part of it. But for me, it's going back to that, it took me a long time to realize what was important to me when it came to restaurants, and I would say in the last 10 years,
mm-hmm.
I started when I was 23, and my grandmother passed away 10 years ago, and I really, now I'm in my 50s, really didn't click and hit with me till like 10 years ago, 15 years ago.
About losing your grandma?
No. About the idea of what it really means to I don't say be successful, because by no stretch of the imagination am I really, truly successful. I'm doing a good job. My staff likes working for us,
mm-hmm.
And they like working together.
Mm-hmm.
So having that that community in my or that environment in our restaurant,
mm-hmm.
it comes from that idea of just being of service to each other.
It shows.
Yeah.
So I mean, I adore them, and the way I see it, like when we're playing at your place, for me, it's like we're all on the same team.
Mm-hmm.
We have to work together.
Yeah.
And I don't see it any different. There's no you, them, they, us, you know, we're one.
Yeah.
When we work together. And I love that concept.
And it feels the same. Like when I have, with all the restaurants, we have four different concepts.
Mm-hmm.
And they all get along together.
Oh, wow.
Between each, and they all know each other between each restaurant.
That is
and,
very cool.
I mean, end of the year, we do a holiday dinner and we do awards and raffles and stuff. And we do it all, everybody together, like one giant family.
Like
and we,
all
and
the
so
rest?
We treat it, yeah, everybody together. We had almost, it was, not everybody showed up, but it was like 250 people that were there.
I'm guessing you're not in the kitchen anymore.
Not so much.
Okay.
No, but I have to eat the food, like.
You do?
Every day.
You have to.
So I test the food every day.
Oh, wow. Really?
Mm-hmm. Every restaurant that I go into, I order something every single day.
Okay. I don't
whether
know how
I
stay
eat,
so thin then, but I don't know how to do that.
Whether I eat the whole thing or I take two bites.
Okay.
Because it's about the flavor. It's about the presentation. It's there's a lot of things that go into each item and just maintaining consistency, you know.
So your very first restaurant on your own was what?
Okay. I left. I did a couple things after CPK. Mm-hmm. Opened restaurant company in South America for investment bankers, and then a group
of
us.
You opened a restaurant in South America?
California. It was called California Creations in South America, in Santiago, Chile. Then I came back. And
why there?
They were the original. There's like three investment bankers that were part of CPK.
Okay.
And left after they sold the company. They left, and they just moved to South America and wanted to open a restaurant.
And they loved you.
Well, I got the connection through my CEO from CPK.
Okay.
So that helped. It was just a contract job, and we just got them open and was out of there.
Mm.
And came back, and with a group of people that I used to work with, we went to Benihana, took them private.
Oh, yeah.
I was there for 3-4 years, took them private, and once we went private, then we were out. You know, that was the whole goal.
Yeah.
And then from there, I was actually doing double duty. I was working. I had bought a breakfast restaurant in Manhattan Beach.
It wasn't Uncle Bill's, was it?
No, it wasn't. Okay. That was our competitor.
Uh-huh.
But down the street, what it turned out was one of the original servers and the original cooks from Uncle Bill's left and opened up a restaurant back in 72 or 69, somewhere around there. What was called Coffee Cart.
Okay.
Some people confuse it with Coffee Cartel that's in the Riviera. It's not the same.
Okay.
So that restaurant had been there. Oops. Sorry. That restaurant.
Told you you're busy.
That restaurant. So we bought it, and it was like an old, like a country kitchen. We turned it a little beach cafe, and we just did breakfast 6:30 to 2.
Oh, I like that.
It was like a retirement job. It was nice. So I did that for a few years, and you know, and then eventually we moved on from that, and that's when we started with Captain Kids.
Oh, so Captain Kids was your next?
The next one after that.
Okay. Did you have partners for there? Was that?
Yeah,
just
there was a group of us that came in and bought them out.
Okay. So, wow.
Yeah.
So breakfast place to seafood.
Mm-hmm.
The challenge of seafood. Tell me about this.
Cost of seafood is expensive. Like king crab legs. Mm-hmm. Like with all the Russian embargoes that have happened over the last couple of years because of the war with Ukraine, the majority of our king crab legs came from Russia.
Wow.
So the only places that are currently getting it now, because they're so, they have Japanese, they have North Atlantic, but they're not as prevalent as that you would get out of Russia. So they're only going to certain markets when they get them. So they'll go to Vegas, and they'll go to some of the high profile areas that are spending it,
right,
or paying for that price,
uh-huh,
that can sell them at a different price. Because during, like, COVID was a perfect example. Right before COVID, the price was going up, and it was getting harder and harder to get them because Costco had kind of cornered the market and bought most of the Russian king crab legs. So we were still getting it, but we were getting it at purchase price for us.
Mm.
We were buying it for like $50 a pound.
So, that's high.
Yeah. And normal food cost, it's like if we go to any restaurant and you see things that are like $25, it's probably because it costs $5 to make. So it's multiplied by itself by 4 to 5 times.
Okay.
Now, in a retail setting,
oy,
it's like just multiplied by itself twice. So we're selling it for almost $100 a pound. People were buying it.
Mm-hmm.
So one big, like, you know, 9 to 12 ounce,
wow.
Like it's almost a whole pound by itself, was $98.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
How do you sustain that?
Well, I was surprised that people bought it. I think people splurged during COVID,
okay,
you know, but
right.
They were buying it like crazy. And thank God the prices have come down, but it's sourcing and trying to get these kind of things. And, you know, it's just regulations and seasonal stuff. If the state puts on certain regulations about fishing or like they're doing right now for, I think it's spider crab or rock crab, because of the boats, the fishing boats are going out and they say that they're disturbing the whales.
Oh.
So they have to cut back on that. Or there's always something like this. And it's just it's a constant moving target. And
stuff we never think about.
No,
you know,
no.
We just want what we want.
Yeah.
And why isn't this on the menu?
100%.
All right. I have so many more questions for you.
Yes.
Ladies and gentlemen, you are listening to George Lauren, my very, very dear guest today. You're listening to Charisse Unplugged. We'll be right back after these messages.
Awesome.
Courage is just a single step away. Someone left footprints when his soul was set ablaze.
For all your live or pre-recorded webcasting needs, come to earthchannel.com. Get your web-based message out to a select group or the whole world. It's easy. A pioneer in webcasting, earthchannel.com provides the best products and services to big corporations and government users. And now this same technology is available to you. They have the best Earthcast encoders, servers, and products to meet your technical needs. But wait, don't want to mess with technical stress? No problem. They'll do it for you. EarthChannel.com is your answer. You can use webcasting for lots of things like advertising, marketing, customer support, training, and don't forget, web radio and TV. In fact, you're listening to a live Earthcast right now. So come to EarthChannel.com. Actualize your audio or video webcasting needs today. You can't beat the friendly service or the price. Call earthchannel.com at 1-800-849-8978. That's 1-800-849-8978.
Constant Contact and your small business make a perfect fit for marketing. They give you what you need to succeed. Fast and easy email marketing at your fingertips. Visit the HealthyLife.net advertiser page and click on Constant Contact to start your marketing.
Love with Food delivers healthy, natural, organic, or gluten-free snacks every month right to your door. Whether you want a home or business box, Love with Food has got you covered. Membership starts at $9.99 a month. Imagine junk-free food delivered every month. And the best thing is that for every box you buy, Love with Food donates to food banks in America. To find out more, visit HealthyLife.net's advertiser page and click the Love with Food banner. And do it right now.
Get high-quality glasses, sunglasses, and prescription lenses at eyeglasses.com. Choose from over 250,000 items and 400 brands. Already have frames? Get replacement lenses. It's easy. Go to our advertiser page and click eyeglasses.com.
HealthyLife.net, where positive overcomes negative.
Courage is just a single step away. Someone left footprints. When his soul was set ablaze.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to Charisse Unplugged, and you're listening to my very dear friend, George Lauren, owner, restaurateur of many restaurants. As we were talking about, you had Captain Kids. You have R10, where you met your wife.
Yes.
Five kids later. Adorable. You now have a new restaurant. And that's Catalina
Cantina. So it's Riviera Mexican Cantina. So it's kind of the sister restaurant to Riviera Mexican Grill.
Okay.
That's in the Riviera.
So you have the Mexican Riviera in Redondo.
Mm-hmm.
That was first.
Yeah.
And how long did you have that one?
So we took that one over in COVID. They were, I've been going to that restaurant. Like my kids grew up in that restaurant eating. You know,
right.
But we've been family friends with the owners of the restaurant for almost 30 years. My business partner, him and Danny, who was one of the owners there, they used to coach the surf team for PV. So they've known each other for like 40, almost 50 years.
Wow.
So when COVID hit, they closed. They didn't want to do takeout. They were just like, really? Everybody was, you know, didn't know what to expect, and some people got really scared, and some people just didn't care, and you saw the differences between the two. But they really were nervous about the whole thing. They were in their 70s, so they're a little bit older. Okay. And I kept calling them. I said, hey, look at Danny ML. Open up. I'll come help you open up just so that we can come in and
still eat the food?
Get food to go and get margaritas to go, because me and my wife would go there every Wednesday. Because we took off Wednesdays, and we would go there.
Was that date night?
It was like date. You know, that's where we'd start, you know, for the most part. But so I'd call him, and he's like, oh, okay, let me see. And then I called his daughter's husband, who's a good friend of mine, and he's a realtor. And I was like, hey, Kyle, you got to talk to them. Like, I'll help them open. Let's do the whole thing. It's like, okay, George, I'll talk to him. They called me back the next week and said, hey, I'm calling Chris, your partner, and we want you guys to take it over. Because we're done. We're 72 years old. I'm ready to move on. And we didn't change anything, and the entire staff's still there. And the feelings that we talk, you know, I'm going to say feeling, the culture is very strong in that restaurant,
right,
which matches our way of doing business. And it was just, it was an easy transition. And to this day, it's like those guys are like family, not just to us, but to like a lot of the guests that go in that restaurant. There's a ton of people that go in that restaurant that love that staff.
Absolutely. That staff, and they've known them a long time.
100%.
And they go there just for that feeling.
Yep.
And it's like that warm, fuzzy, okay, I'm home right now.
Yeah.
You know, it's pretty cool.
Yeah.
It's a great thing to create.
Yeah.
It's rare and wonderful.
It is. It's rare. There's a lot of, there's moments when I say it's the people are the difficult part of it, but the moments like when people come back after they've left, because as an operator, nobody can ever imagine or ever expect that people are going to work with you forever.
Right.
Ever.
Right.
You can't. As much as you say you can never, you know, I hear it all the time. People can say, oh, you can never leave me. You can't leave me. You know, I'll know what I do if you leave.
Right.
I want people to leave. I want people to learn and grow with us.
Mm.
And if they leave, I want them to do it for something better. I want them to grow the same way, because the things that they learn in our restaurants, they carry with them to
That's
other
what
place.
Happened to you.
Yes, 100%.
Same thing.
So.
And you learn so much more by going away.
Yep.
And then you bring back more to the table.
Yep. Or they come to the table and they're customers again.
Yeah, there you go. Full circle right there.
There's a reason behind it. No, but.
So now you have Cantina.
Riviera Mexican Cantina.
It's beautiful in there,
So
the
I've been after this building before COVID. But the whole idea was I was going to move R10 to that building.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And, you know, this is before we ever, because I just had Captain Kids, and even before we opened the Oyster Bar, I had Captain Kids in R10. I was like, I would love to have it right on the water. It has an event space, it has a restaurant space, and every seat has an ocean view. And
yeah, it's stunning.
It's we got to make it, so it's got to be fun, you know? So the only other, when it finally did happen, and the city called us and said, hey, look, it's going to be available. What do you want to do? So there's a couple other people that were bidding on the building, and they kind of went with it. Somehow they ended up with us, you know. I went through, it was ironic, I just spent like a week in Cabo. Or I take it back, in Punta Mita, which, you know, it's on the mainland.
Yes.
And loved it. And I was like, because Riviera Mexican Grill is more like a Baja style taco shop almost, you know, and it's got its surf theme, the surfboards all over the place.
Yeah, flip flops.
And then so when we do a Cantina style, like when I was down in, whether it's in Cabo or even when I was in Punta Mita, it's like, how cool would it be to have this type of restaurant at home? But the same, with a view on the water, with everything else like that. And that's where that inspiration came from.
Oh, because I mean, like, honestly, every seat, it's just a beautiful view.
Yeah.
And you made something very, it's hard to make a space that big feel warm.
Yeah. No, it was hard. Well, it was painted black. It didn't take much. Everything was painted black inside, so it was really dark because they only opened at night, and they had, because it was a Brazilian steakhouse.
Uh-huh.
So it hit a lot of dirt.
You can hide a lot of sins with the black.
Yeah. It hides a lot of things, you know. But you know, we lightened it, brightened it, and then, you know, in the event side of it, opened up windows. There was no open windows in there. They had one door that opened went up to the outside patio, and we opened up the windows in the dining room, and that made all the difference because you can feel the air when it's warm. Obviously, right. We haven't had that weather lately. But it has a different vibe, different feel, completely different from what it was before.
It's just beautiful. And even, like, just the plating and the setting, it's just – it's like the upscale version.
Yeah. It is. It's a little elevated. I wouldn't say upscale, but it's elevated. A little elevated over Riviera Grill. But it's we have some similar items that are at both restaurants. But you're not going to see octopus tacos at Riviera Grill, and you'll see it at the Cantina. Or right. we have a ribeye steak that we're doing. A full steak dinner that we're doing at the Cantina, we don't have at the Grill. So there are some differences, you know. So when I say elevated, it's just actually some of the menu items that are different.
I'm starting to get really hungry.
How funny.
So this is your new baby.
Yep.
How's it going so far?
It's going good. I mean, it's that area is weather driven. And it's, you know, it's gone through so much over the last 30 years, you know, from when they built, they built that harbor in the late 60s,
you know,
there was no harbor there. It was just street, and the apartments and the condos behind it weren't even there. The street, you know, Harbor Drive went all the way through straight up to Catalina.
Really?
Yeah, so there was, it's very different. We have photos of it at R10. You can see it.
So that
whole area changed a lot. It used to be, like, you look at the South Bay, and you look at, you know, North Manhattan, they call it North Manhattan. I still always call it El Porto.
Uh-huh.
Then you have Manhattan. Then you have, you know, the other areas. There's always been a hot spot. Well, back in the day, before I was born or when I was a kid, my mom worked there. That Redondo, that area was the hot spot.
That was the hot spot. Yeah. Oh, wow.
And it has changed. So it's just getting that back.
Look at that. You're back to the scene of the crime.
Trying.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to George Lauren, and this is Charisse Unplugged. We'll be right back after these messages.
Courage is just a single step away. Someone left footprints when his soul was set ablaze.
Shh, over here. Here's a secret for a virus-free computer. ESET. They've been a pioneer in the antivirus industry for over 25 years. 25 years of innovative, top-rated antivirus protection. ESET's award-winning security solutions provide a safe online experience for over 100 million home and business computer owners. They are so affordable, fast, and simple to use. So be gone, you blue screen of death. ESET's on my computer. If it's not on yours, visit HealthyLife.net's advertiser page and click on ESET now.
If you're in Southern California, you might want to consider HealthyLife.net Radio for advertising. We have 18 hosts that have shows with loyal listeners just in Southern California. That means you get local advertising and the world for the same affordable price. With packages for every budget, you can't afford not to let that economic sun shine in for your business. Call now 1-800-555-5453. That's 1-800-555-5453.
When you need quality Auto Parts Warehouse is fast and easy. Always get the part that fits. Just enter your vehicle type to find the parts specific to your car. Auto body parts, mirrors, brakes, suspension and steering, engines and drivetrains. Need something yet? What about exterior and interior accessories or headlights? Auto Parts Warehouse has them. Top brands, great prices. Visit HealthyLife.net's advertiser page and click on Auto Parts Warehouse.
Dwayne Johnson here. The earthquakes you see in movies are one thing, but real life is a completely different animal. Just because you can't predict an earthquake doesn't mean that you can't prepare for one. In the event of a real earthquake, you should drop, cover, and hold on. Visit ready.gov/earthquake and practice what to do to keep you and your family safe in the event of a real earthquake, and you'll be seen as a hero by your family and your loved ones.
Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
All positive talk with a mature edge. HealthyLife.net.
Courage is just a single step away. Someone left footprints
when his soul was set ablaze.
Welcome back, guys. You're listening to Charisse Unplugged, and we're talking to George Lauren. And we were just talking about your restaurants, and I would like to talk a little bit more about your new restaurant, Cantina.
Mm-hmm.
Because I have to say, I am a fan.
Mm-hmm.
I've been there twice already.
Yeah.
I want to go more often.
Yeah.
I'm always working for you. So... So I'm always working on the weekend, but I always want to go more often.
Yeah.
And I think what people don't know is that it's like really easy to park there, though. I mean, that is...
South Bay?
Oh, my God.
That's the issue with everything. There's two things in the South Bay when it comes to restaurants. Location and parking. And you're required to maintain a certain amount of parking if you open up a new restaurant.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're in Manhattan Beach or in Hermosa Beach... That's what you're challenged with. And even in like the Riviera and Redondo Beach, you're still challenged with that portion of parking. And as a consumer, or, you know, you want to go out and go and eat, that's probably, if you're not Ubering, it's easier to Uber because you don't have to deal with the parking. But down in the marina by Captain Kidd's and by Cantina, especially in R10, is like the parking is wide open.
It couldn't be easier.
There's more parking in that area than you probably have in all three of those areas in the beach cities.
You're totally right, because there's no parking anywhere else.
Yep, 100%.
Like the Cantina, like parking is so good. So is the food, though.
Yeah.
So how did you pick the chef for Cantina?
So my chef for Cantina is my chef for R10. He's running, he's doing both restaurants. So he does a menu for both, oversees both, and he has obviously a second and has a team of people in both restaurants.
Mm-hmm.
But originally, so he's worked for me since I've opened R10 almost. He came in like within the first year of opening that restaurant, which is, it'll be 12 years now this year. And he was my wife, who was, now with kids, has not been the chef for the last few years.
Right.
He was her second for the first 6 years.
Oh, so that was, she relied on him a lot.
Everything.
Oh.
Everything. So everything that we would do together, when we were doing specials or we did dinners or we did, because we do events at R10, so we created menus for people. You know, a lot of people have, they're a menu that they serve for events.
Right.
Because of the area that we're in, we wanted to attract people. We cooked whatever the people... We had our menu, but it was just a starting point. But if they came in and say, hey, look at... This is what's traditional to us and our heritage or our family life or whatever. This is the, or if it's a celebration of life and this is their favorite, we made whatever they wanted to. Down to beef Wellington or whatever it might have been.
Oh, wow.
You know, so that was... When I talk about having that... being of service approach,
yes,
that's where this comes in to play. And so it made sense when we opened up Cantina that Humberto is his name, took over that restaurant at the same time, because we would do a lot of,
and you trust him.
Yeah. And that's a big part of this job. And like I said, people and family, if you don't have that trust, it's hard to manage it. It's hard to be successful. It's hard for them to feel successful if they don't feel like they have that trust or that support or whatever is behind that.
Because that feeling, that micromanagement thing, makes you uncomfortable.
No.
Nobody can grow from that.
Yeah.
So Umberto's like a great guy.
Yeah, 100%.
And he's part of the family now.
Yep.
Like forever.
Yeah.
Never
forever.
Well, but, right. Yeah. I take that back. For now.
He wants to open his own company and he wants to move to the Northwest eventually.
Oh, does he?
But he's learning how to run a business right now. So
yeah. See, you're growing a community.
Yeah.
It may not be your restaurant, but it's, you're making the restaurant world a better place by putting out good concepts.
Yep.
And the Cantina, do you do events there?
We have an event space. So it's a large building.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, it's 10,000 square foot building. Probably one of the largest. Well, yeah, it's in fact the largest restaurant I've ever either worked in or have ever owned before. But I've been doing events for the last 12 years with R10.
Mm-hmm.
So same thing, as I have an event coordinator that coordinates between both of them.
Mm-hmm.
And then we have a staff at each restaurant that runs the events. But yeah, we do everything from like wedding receptions. We actually do weddings and the reception. We'll do birthday parties are huge. It just depends, depending on the time of the year, whether it's graduations, birthdays, baby showers, celebrations of life, you name it.
Space for it.
Yeah. Anywhere up to, depending on the type of service they're looking for, it could be anywhere up to 250 to, 85 people.
Wow, that's a great space.
Yeah.
I mean, you can't lose with that restaurant, honestly. Because, the food is so good.
Yeah.
The view is gorgeous.
Yeah.
And, it still has a little bit of an intimate feeling.
Yep.
Especially with, that bar area that you created.
Mm-hmm.
It's really just a fun little kind of hang to be at.
Yeah.
You did, a little bit of all the worlds in
there. And then we just recently opened for brunch. And so we're going to be doing mariachis on brunch at the same time. So brunch is... we'll do it Saturday, Sunday, but we'll do the mariachis on Sundays.
Nice.
So it'll be fun.
So on top of all those goodies, you can also find parking.
Yep.
Which is
gold. You don't even have to worry about it. You're just parking all the time.
It's so perfect.
Very rarely do you not find parking.
Did I mention that I was getting hungry?
Yeah.
I mentioned that.
I know.
Yeah. So one question I want to ask you is, what would be your biggest takeaway from the business, and what would you want to teach your kids in this? Do you want them in the restaurant business?
I want them to learn it. And it's not just, it's like my daughter, I have an older daughter, and she played sports through school and through college, and she never really worked. So it was a challenge. And when she was done with school, or when she would come home, she would work with me, but she would do accounting.
Uh-huh.
She never, I'd give them options to do events or work as a hostess and, and then learn and grow and become a bartender. So we went back to school. If you want to get a job, you can get a job serving or bartending.
Right.
Didn't want to do it. And, now she's working in a restaurant.
Really?
Serving, bartending. And she's trying to figure out what she wants to do. Obviously, she's just out of college, but she enjoys it. But it's the people. She tells me it's the people side of things. When you create an experience on how you just to read people and approach people, you make money, and she's seeing that now. But it's like with my two younger ones, it's like, yes, I want them to learn the industry because I want them to learn how to deal with people.
It's a skill set for sure.
100%. And that, everybody talks about the workforce. It's like, oh, you can never find good people. And like the restaurants, like at Cantina and R10 and Captain Kids, because it's right there next to Redondo High School.
Mm-hmm.
So we work with Redondo High School and we bring in kids in their work study programs. And we end up hiring almost all of them during the summer. So they have a job during the summer and they're in high school. They're getting credit for it. And a lot of these kids will start with us and they're 16, 17.
Oh, man.
Sheena.
Yeah.
Sheena started with me and she turned 15. She was just over 15.
I love her.
And
I love her.
She's 20, 22 now and she's running the events.
And she's great at it.
So she's in charge of running all the events at Cantina.
And she deserves it because she's got great people skills.
Yeah, but it just takes some time to thicken their skin and get them to be comfortable in front of not just their peers anymore. They're talking to grown adults that are acting like their peers sometimes.
And she can handle herself.
And she handles herself great.
It's beautiful.
But that's the reason why I want my kids involved in it. Whether they stay in the business or not, they will be more successful in the long run by learning this business.
100%.
Yeah.
I have a couple more questions when we come back. You're listening to Sharice Unplugged, and we'll be right back after these messages.
Courage is just a single step away. Someone left footprints when his soul was set ablaze.
Shh! Over here. Here's a secret for a virus-free computer. ESET. They've been a pioneer in the antivirus industry for over 25 years. 25 years of innovative, top-rated antivirus protection. ESET's award-winning security solutions provide a safe online experience for over 100 million home and business computer owners. They are so affordable, fast, and simple to use. So be gone, you blue screen of death. ESET's on my computer. If it's not on yours, visit HealthyLife.net's advertiser page and click on ESET now.
Everybody down!
Dwayne Johnson here. The earthquakes you see in movies are one thing, but real life is a completely different animal. Just because you can't predict an earthquake doesn't mean that you can't prepare for one. In the event of a real earthquake, you should drop, cover, and hold on. Visit ready.gov/earthquake and practice what to do to keep you and your family safe in the event of a real earthquake, and you'll be seen as a hero by your family and your loved ones.
Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
Constant Contact and your small business make a perfect fit for marketing. They give you what you need to succeed. Fast and easy email marketing at your fingertips. Visit the HealthyLife.net advertiser page and click on Constant Contact to start your marketing.
Radio your way. HealthyLife.net.
Courage is just a single step away. Someone left footprints when his soul was set ablaze.
Welcome back. You're listening to Cherise Unplugged, and you're listening to George, owner of Cantina R10, Mexican Riviera restaurant, and what other restaurant?
Rockefeller's.
Oh, and Captain Kitts.
And Captain Kitts.
Am I missing one?
That's it.
Oh my God, that's it.
That's it.
That's it. The new so just so you know, FYI, I think I'm going to Cantina for dinner tonight because
okay, that's good.
I am super hungry now after talking about it.
We're doing a special just rent.
Really?
Well, when I work with Humberto, he'll bring stuff to me and it's like, okay, try this. So we're always tasting, creating different stuff.
Okay, I'm in.
And it's a cinnamon crisp cheesecake. So it's a cheesecake wrapped.
I'm drooling on the mic.
It is so good.
Oh my God.
I ate it for breakfast. It was that good. I was only going to have a bite and I ended up eating half of it, you know. So, but I wanted the staff that were coming in, they all loved it.
So I have to try this tonight.
If they have it, should have it.
I'm going to try
they
it.
They should have it.
Done deal. All right, so I have a question I like to ask everybody.
Mm-hmm.
What is one thing that people don't know about you? Like a hobby or something you love?
I have different lives. I have very much, people know me as the restaurant guy,
mm-hmm.
and then people know me as the paddling guy.
The paddling guy.
So I paddle.
Tell me about this.
So back in the 50s, the surf clubs used to paddle here in the South Bay, used to paddle from Catalina to Manhattan Pier.
Wow. Okay.
On a paddleboard. And back then, they used to do it on a wood board. Before they were glassing boards, they'd hand shape their own boards. And I don't, you know, guys were a lot tougher back then than we are now.
Mm-hmm.
So when you say, you know, Catalina, two harbors in Catalina to Manhattan Pier is 32 miles or just under 32 miles. And I've paddled one of those boards before and I thought I was going to die. You know,
just like paddle just on the knees.
Like on your knees or on your belly, like surf style.
Wow. Okay.
And so I started doing this like 20 years ago, me and my brother, and we had friends that did it, and there was mostly lifeguards that did this, you mm-hmm. know? So I grew up surfing in the South Bay and surfing and skateboarding and doing all those kind of things. So that's what I do. And my thing is I train and I go, that's why I'm able to eat.
Are you still doing that?
Yeah. So I just, like, I just signed up for my 18th year. I'm doing Molokai to Oahu, which I do pretty much every year. So the west end of Molokai.
Yes.
So we buy a one-way ticket, uh-huh. get a boat guy, brings your board over, and because the channel's super rough, it's like the winds look today. It looks
choppy.
Like choppy and it's blowing. The only difference, it's 20 degrees warmer over there, mm-hmm. the water included.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a lot more enjoyable. So you're going with the wind or kind of quartered on the wind, mm-hmm. and it's, that's my thing.
You do that every year?
Every year.
So how many miles is that?
32.
32 miles?
It's a legit 32.
Wow, how's that shoulder?
Today's a little sore.
Okay.
But it's the record times are like under 5 hours, 4.5 hours. You know, I think my fastest has been like 5.5. My longest time is taking me just over 7 hours.
Oh my God.
So it can be challenging, but it's, you know, it's just like one of those things.
And how many people sign up for this?
There'll be 500 people in it.
Oh, that's
a combination
cool.
between all the relays, and we mix it between the prone paddling and the stand up. And then the last couple of years, they do the foil. Have you ever seen the photos? So you'll see a board. It comes off the ground. So now they're doing their
race. It's like hydroplaning?
It's like a hydroplane, okay. But you're on top of – you'll see the board above the water.
Uh-huh.
And then – but those guys, I mean, so they've been racing with us the last couple of years. Mm-hmm. Last year they did a separate – there's enough of them now where they do their own mm-hmm. race the week before. Because mm-hmm. some guys do that race, and then they come and do the next race. Because those guys are crossing the channel in 2 hours.
In 2 hours. It's almost like the e-bikes of surfboards.
It's faster than e-bikes and surfboards because their boats can't keep up with them.
Wow.
That's how fast it's
going.
Wow, that's
really cool.
That's what most people don't know about me. I think the only...
The paddle guy.
Yeah.
Who knew?
Or skateboarding, one or the other.
Uh-huh. So we'll see you either out on the water...
Or on a skateboard.
On a skateboard mm-hmm. or eating because yeah. you're hungry.
You won't see me downhill skateboard anymore. I don't do that. Wife doesn't
anymore.
Like that anymore. Yeah. But that's, up until about... Probably around COVID hit. That's when the downhill stopped.
Mm-hmm.
So,
smart. It's a good time to stop.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So if in another life, if you had the chance, what would you choose to be if you weren't in this business?
I don't know. I feel like I've lived three lives already. So it's like, which life would I choose mm-hmm. over the other life mm-hmm. as opposed to what I... Because I don't have any regrets, mm-hmm. so to say.
All right, so what is something new you'd like to try that you haven't tried yet?
Probably like racing cars.
Racing cars.
Off-road.
Like the Baja style?
Yeah. I mean, I used to ride motorcycles.
Okay.
So, but... Don't ride a motorcycle anymore.
Junkie.
I'm an adrenaline junkie. Uh-huh. So that would be it for the most part.
Racing cars. I bet your wife is like, no.
Yeah.
Like, no.
Too funny. I went out for a paddle the other morning. She goes, and I've been doing this for years. She goes, shouldn't you wear like an orange vest? And you go, I go, what for? She goes, so like if something underneath you. And I go, they're not going to see me if I'm wearing an orange vest. All they're going to see is a board. Only person that would see me would be a boat. And we're out in the middle of the ocean.
Maybe the sharks.
Sometimes I paddle out, I leave the beach and I'll go straight out about 4.5 to 5 miles and then turn around and come back. So sometimes I'm out 4 miles out and I'll stop and turn around, take a photo and I'll come back.
Uh-huh.
And you see sea life out there,
mm-hmm.
but it's not the same. I've seen it in here and in Hawaii.
Mm-hmm.
Hawaii, probably the one time I've seen a shark that up close where I was super scared.
Uh-huh.
I almost ran into the shark.
Oh, God.
It didn't expect me, and it was probably like a 14-foot tiger shark.
Yeah, those are the ones
I thought I was done.
Okay.
You know? But that doesn't happen that often, And it's, you have more of a chance of flying on a plane and the door flying off the plane in the middle of the air. Which doesn't happen that often.
Than being eaten by a whale,
yeah.
like
yeah.
that kayaker.
I think, but they spit. He got spit out.
Yes.
He spit him out, so he's fine. He's got a story to tell. I think somebody said, and I think it was a fact out there, that more people die from vending machines falling on them than being attacked by a shark.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Those are
good odds for you.
Yeah,
then.
So I'm not too worried about it. So it's fun though.
Your next paddle is going to be when?
July.
When is it? It's in July. So you're training now.
Training now.
That's so great.
Yeah.
Leaves you a lot of room so you can eat all the food at the restaurants and keep tasting it with no problem.
Yeah. Yep.
Right.
Just got to stay away from the chips. Chips are the top one. So addicting. So
what's your new plans for the cantina? Anything new?
So brunch, like I had mentioned, doing brunch, and then we'll start doing. Mariachis during brunch. We want brunch to be like a party. You know what I mean? We want it to be fun. You come in on hangover, and what's the best thing for a hangover? Probably a mimosa.
Absolutely.
You know what I mean? Or
a Bloody Mary
or a Mezcal Mary or whatever, a Smoky Mary.
Mm-hmm.
We want it to be fun. We want it to be festive, and that's the big part of it. Then we're going to start doing big tastings. We're doing tasting dinners. Like we just set up our first one with Clase Azul. So they'll go through their whole line item products, all their products, and we'll course it with all the meals.
Oh,
so we're going to do that. We're going to do tequila tastings there, or tequila dinners there,
mm-hmm.
Along with doing all the events and stuff like that.
There's a lot to come for Cantina.
And then our big event that we'll do for next year is, and I always say this wrong, Dia de la Martis. I said that right? Maybe I did. I'm not sure.
Yeah, that was wrong.
That was wrong.
But I don't know how to say it correctly. So
that's why I said the same. So we'll do that whole weekend. We're going to do like kind of what we do like for New Year's Eve at R10.
Uh-huh.
It's going to be a party, uh-huh. and it's going to be an event and open to the public. And you bring people in and it'll do it in the event space. And
that's
it'll be
exciting.
You know, music, dancing, and everybody's got to dress. You have to dress up to come in.
Yes. That's going to be so much fun.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh, so many good things.
So we're just, you know, again, we're trying to bring some fun back to that area.
Yeah.
You
know, so. Well, I can't thank you enough because you are the busiest man I know. And this means everything that you came and spent some time with me and you filled me in on your life and everything. So thank you, George, for being my guest today.
No problem.
I really appreciate it.
100%.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, you are listening to Cherise Unplugged. And this was George Lauren with his new restaurant, Cantina, in Redondo Beach. Please go visit. It's really good. It's a beautiful space. Go enjoy. And thank you for listening. Have a great day.
Courage is just a single step away. Someone left footprints when his soul was set ablaze.
For all your live or pre-recorded webcasting needs, come to earthchannel.com. Get your web-based message out to a select group or the whole world. It's easy. A pioneer in webcasting, earthchannel.com provides the best products and services to big corporations and government users. And now this same technology is available to you. They have the best Earthcast encoders, servers, and products to meet your technical needs. But wait, don't want to mess with technical stress? No problem. They'll do it for you. EarthChannel.com is your answer. You can use webcasting for lots of things like advertising, marketing, customer support, training, and don't forget, web radio and TV. In fact, you're listening to a live Earthcast right now. So come to EarthChannel.com. Actualize your audio or video webcasting needs today. You can't beat the friendly service or the price. Call earthchannel.com at 1-800-849-8978. That's 1-800-849-8978.
Constant Contact and your small business make a perfect fit for marketing. They give you what you need to succeed. Fast and easy email marketing at your fingertips. Visit the HealthyLife.net advertiser page and click on Constant Contact to start your marketing.
Love with Food delivers healthy, natural, organic, or gluten-free snacks every month right to your door. Whether you want a home or business box, Love with Food has got you covered. Membership starts at $9.99 a month. Imagine junk-free food delivered every month. And the best thing is that for every box you buy, Love with Food donates to food banks in America. To find out more, visit HealthyLife.net's advertiser page and click the Love with Food banner. And do it right now.
Get high-quality glasses, sunglasses, and prescription lenses at eyeglasses.com. Choose from over 250,000 items and 400 brands. Already have frames? Get replacement lenses. It's easy. Go to our advertiser page and click eyeglasses.com.
HealthyLife.net, where positive overcomes negative.
Courage is just a single step away. Someone left footprints when his soul was set ablaze.